worked together in Baltimore. Mark Zeno, who's now with the 680 The Fan in Atlanta, and is from the New York area, as you will hear his voice in just a second, you can't deny. So I would imagine, Mark, that you know you've got your heartstrings are being pulled here from the New York area. I know you're a big Knicks fan, but at the same time, you've been covering this Hawks team for a while, right?
Yeah, it's one of those conundrums. I'm sort of mentally torn. My heart and everything that I grew up as a kid wants the Knicks to win this series. But, you know, the Hawks are an organization that's back on the rise. You know, they've been bad for a couple of years, and they're starting to get it. And they got a great young star in Trae Young, and so you'd like to see that rise continue. But, you know, my heart's always going to be with the Knicks. But this is going to be a really good, entertaining series. I think it's one that everybody, when the first round is over, is going to point to as the one series that really, you know, everybody had their eyes on. I think it's a 6 or 7 game series easily. And I think really game one is going to be very telling about how the rest of this series will play out.
All right, let's dive, because I've been on air since 8 a.m. and spending a lot of time obviously focusing on the Knicks, but we've got you on, and you know the Hawks team better than anyone. So I talk about how different this team has been since they fired Floyd Pierce. They've gone 27-11, and they've really turned it around. What has been the biggest difference since that firing?
I mean, it sounds crazy to say, right? But I just don't think the players enjoyed playing for Lloyd Pierce. He came from a different mentality. He sort of came from that Popovich lineage, right? And the way he treated players and the expectations and things of that, but that manner. McMillan's just been a lot friendlier, more player-friendly coach for these guys to play with, and they just have showed up with a completely different attitude. I mean, look, nothing that they've done in the you know, almost 40 games under Nate McMillan has been dramatically different than what they did under Lloyd Pierce. Now, they've been able to close games out better significantly under Nate McMillan. You know, they didn't blow as many fourth-quarter leads as they did under Lloyd Pierce, but the style of play, the players, the way they execute, it's not like they pulled off any major trades or anything that changed the roster construction. It's the same team. I just think they truly enjoy playing for Nate McMillan. They relate to him better. He relates to them better. And as such, the effort and the sort of results have bore that out. But this is still a team that's going to run and gun. I mean, that's what they do. They just want to get up and down and play as fast as they can and shoot a lot and score as much as they can. They're not going to play any defense on you. It's just not who they are. I mean, Trae Young, for all of his marvels on the offensive end, is as good as James Harden is defensively on the defensive end. I mean, it's just not there. So this is an interesting situation given the matchup that they drew in the first round, where you get that classic offense versus defensive matchup between these two teams in the Hawks and the Knicks. But I think that more than anything, that's the one thing you can look at, that if the Hawks have a lead, they're not as susceptible to blow it in the fourth quarter as they were under Lloyd Pierce.
Interesting. Mark Zeno joining us from Atlanta, talking all things about the Hawks. Interesting that you say, because you've got a Hawks team who plays at a very fast pace, but yet you've got a Knicks team that plays in a very slow and methodical pace. I'm leaning on the Knicks here. The first half favored by one. They're 1.5 total in the game, but I do like the first half, and this is why I'm really glad that you're on, Mark, and you're from New York. The Garden's going to be insane. 15,000 fans. We've been playing clips from the Nets game last night, and even Harden and Kyrie were talking about how different the vibe was, and they had to get used to it, and they had a real slow start at the beginning of their game against Boston. What has been the fan base been for Atlanta? How many fans have been allowed in that arena? How different of an environment is this going to be for the Hawks in regard to what they've been used to this season?
Yeah, I mean, they've only been at about 25 or 30% capacity for the entire year. They have talked about, and I don't know if anything official has been made yet, but they want to expand that percentage for the postseason. But yeah, the Garden's going to be rocking. This is the biggest event in New York City since the pandemic started, right? I mean, that's really what it's about. It's Knicks basketball at the Garden. It's the Mecca. So I expect that crowd will play a little bit into it. And I wonder how the Hawks are going to react to it. You know, they haven't really faced that sort of energy at any point in time this year, especially on the road. And now they're going to go into one of the toughest places to win a basketball game in the NBA. And I think it'll be interesting to see how this young team reacts. You know, that's one of the things that I think Nate McMillan has sort of, you know, you asked that question before about what's been different. He's sort of allowed them to become a little bit more mentally calm. I think under Lloyd Pierce, they would have pressed in these opening moments of this game. So it'll be interesting to see how they, if they start out shooting poorly, whether they press more, whether they're able to just sort of sustain and keep the game as close as possible, not make too many mental errors and things of that nature. But it could start out that way, that the Knicks get an early lead and the Hawks are digging out of a hole, which, again, necessarily isn't a problem. But against a team like the Knicks, it is, because their field goal percentage defense is so good, both, you know, on the entire floor and beyond the arc. I mean, the Hawks are an incredibly great three-point shooting team, but they certainly got the guys who can do it. And if they can get hot enough, you know, they can dig themselves out of a hole. But it'll be interesting to see how this game starts and how the Hawks react to the environment.
Yeah, you talk about the three-point shooting. Look at the percentages in on the Knicks side, and what a number, not just Julius Randle, but R.J. Barrett, Bullock, even Derrick Rose have been able to do. And here's another thing. I don't think, and again, I've been on since 8 o'clock. Granted, 8 to 9 was a golf show, but, you know, I don't think enough is being discussed in just how significant Derrick Rose is off the bench, not just because of what he contributes as that sixth guy off the bench in points and assists or what have you, but also both these teams young in that not a lot of experience playing in the postseason. And now you add Derrick Rose into that mix with that veteran leadership. I think that's really going to be key. Who's the guy on the Atlanta Hawks roster that has the most experience and can keep these guys grounded in a very excitable environment?
Well, I think Clint Capella is that guy, you know, from his days with the Rockets and making deep playoff runs with those guys. But I also think that he's going to be an incredibly important factor in this game. Because, I mean, here's what I think this series really can hinge on, right? I think the Hawks offense is going to get theirs, comparatively speaking, and the Knicks defense will do their job and slow it down. But because the Hawks are a volume shooting team, you know, if they struggle, they're obviously not going to score. But if they're on, they can. And so I wonder how much the rebounding advantage is really going to matter. Like, that's what I'm looking at in game one more than anything. I haven't placed a wager on the series of the game yet, because I want to see how this thing unfolds. If Capella can dominate on the boards, and he's a leading rebounder in the NBA, but the Knicks have some size inside that they can match up against him with. But if he can lead them in rebounds and give them extra second chance points and points to the paint, easy high percentage shots, I think that really can turn a game or this series on its end, because I don't think the Hawks are going to be able to have these shooting nights against the Knicks defense where they're just going to shoot 45-46% and hit everything that you know, and put up 120 points. I don't see that game developing that way, but I do see them being able to score those type of numbers if they can dominate inside and get some, you know, quality offensive rebounds and putbacks and easy layups to sort of grab extra possessions, if you will, away from the Knicks. Capella's the guy that, you know, has been in those big moments and those big spots. Granted, it never worked out for the Rockets, but, you know, he certainly has the experience of being in those moments on this roster, and he could be a guy that could really change the series for the Hawks.
Mark, before I let you go, just out of curiosity, you said that you said that Atlanta's capacity is 20 to 30%. Do you know, you might not have an answer for this, I apologize if you don't, do you know if that's going to increase in the postseason when the Knicks and the Hawks head back to Atlanta? What do you think that fan base is going to be? Do you have a number?
I know the Hawks have made the request to increase the percentage at the arena. To what, I'm not 100% sure. I would assume they get at least 50% inside State Farm Arena when they come down here. I know that, again, Georgia's been one of the most open states the entire time, so I'm surprised that they haven't really opened the floodgates yet. You know, for everybody to show up to this thing, especially since, you know, most states are doing, if you're vaccinated, go on in kind of deal. But I know the Hawks have opened it up. To what percentage, I don't have the exact answer on at this point.
And last but not least, before I let you go, let's talk about this series and how you think this series is going to play out. I've got the Knicks winning the series in six. So I've got them 4-2, and you can get that at 6-1. I've already played that. How do you see this series playing out? Who do you have winning, and how far do you think it'll go the distance?
My heart is with the Knicks. It always has been, always will be. But objectively, the Hawks are the deeper, more talented team. I don't really think that that's a stretch to say. I mean, just go up and down their roster and look at the guys and look how many points they're scoring a game and how much deeper they are than really what the Knicks are past the three or four guys that you mentioned. I mean, you know, Derrick Rose has been excellent for the Knicks, but again, he's the sixth guy. He's the first guy off the bench. He's the sixth man. So it's not like there's a ton of you know, high level talent down the roster. And typically when it looks in those spots, I would lean on the more talented team, the deeper team. I think the disadvantage for the Knicks is that defense can maybe win you a series, but it's not going to win you two. Eventually, you know, the better, more talented offensive teams are going to win games in the NBA playoffs, despite the fact that everybody seems to play more defense in the NBA playoffs. If I was the Knicks and they wanted to, I'm sorry, if I was the Hawks and they want to win this series, I would take the Knicks game and throw it right back in their face. I would just turn around and play as much defense as I can and challenge the Knicks to get to 100, right? If the Hawks can do that, I think they can actually control this series. If they can focus and use guys like Gallinari and use guys like John Collins and Capella and force the Knicks to get uncomfortable on offense, I think they can easily win the series. But again, it's just a question of, you know, you talked about how young these players are. Coaching is going to matter in this series a ton. You get two experienced playoff coaches in Thibodeau and McMillan who really kind of, you know, rely on their moxie as coaches to guide their teams through tough series like this. So I lean on the Hawks. Yeah, I honestly do. Again, my heart is with the Knicks, but I think the Hawks are the more talented team. And there's way too much of the public that is on the Knicks, which I understand, right? It's the first time back in the playoffs in a long time. They're a young, exciting team. They've been great against the number all year long. But there's just too much public on the Knicks for me to actually bet them at this point in time. As I said, I didn't make a wager on this series yet. I'm holding off on game one probably until we get closer to tip. But I would probably lean, if you leaned against me, I'd probably say Hawks in six.
Again, he's Mark Zeno joining us from Atlanta, covering the Atlanta Hawks for 680 The Fan. Mark and I go way back. We worked together in Baltimore, and we played golf quite a few times. Let's end on this. Brooks Koepka plus 150 to win the PGA Championship. He's going up against Phil. They're both teeing off at 230 today. Phil plus 275. I'm on Brooks. I'm fading Phil. I'm on Brooks, but I hate to say it because Phil Mickelson winning a major at 50, I mean, God bless us all. I mean, that's who I'm rooting for. I'm going to be rooting for Phil today, but that's with my heart. My head is saying Brooks Koepka wins this at plus 150. Who are you playing here?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's just, at this point, if you didn't get Brooks early on, right, you know, before the tournament started or after the first round, there's not the value there. It's not really worth wagering 100 to win 150 at this point when, you know, he's three strokes off the lead and it's against a 50-year-old Phil Mickelson. But I'll say this, and I said this on Twitter. If Phil Mickelson shoots par today, he's not winning. Par is not going to be good enough for him to win today. Not against Brooks on Sunday at the PGA. It's just this is the tournament that Brooks really, you know, excels in. For one reason or another, it's just where he's the most comfortable. I envision Koepka going 3 or 4 under today. And if Mickelson can't do any better than par, and I didn't like the way he played the back nine yesterday. He had a lot of air. I mean, he was scrambling, Anita, just to get back to 7 under. So I look at the whole situation. I don't think Phil can keep it together for 18 more holes. I think Brooks is too much. I think East Asian has got too many bad shots in his bag to really be a factor. I think this is a two-horse race, and I think Brooks comes out on top. I'm with you.
Mark, great to hear your voice. God bless you and your beautiful family. I follow you on social media. I see your two twin boys. They're adorable. So great to hear your voice,
thank
my friend.
So
I'm glad you guys
you
are too. Doing
You're
well.
You're the best.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.